that you will step back and allow the shelter to continue if necessary. I have to go, Paul, and I want to talk to you further. I'll give you the chance for the last word because I think you should have it. I've been talking all day. I got Ed Fry, who's only got 5 minutes to talk. And
I don't want a last word, Robert. I just want to keep talking on this.
Well, let's do that. Why don't you give your number so people can talk to you about this as well if they want?
423-7932.
That's the number for the Citizens Committee for the Homeless.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. We've been talking to Paul Marceau, Executive Director of the Open Air Shelter, the only legal place for people to sleep outdoors in Santa Cruz, which will be closing when?
The last available date would be December 14th.
And then you'll be...
Then the armory is secured for the winter season.
All right. We'll be talking to you about problems in the armory, and I do appreciate your coming on the show.
Anytime, Robert.
Hey, thank you, Paul.
Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, we are here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That's 96.3 for all you number people. Ed Fry is going to be joining to conclude his discussion of what happened to him in court a week ago on the Catherine Gardner case. And we have before that another court victim, Marlena Zaro, who was in court yesterday in the court of Judge Artichoke Hart Attic. Marlena was acquitted of failure to disperse in the mini police riot in May of 1994 in the sit-on-the-sidewalk, go-to-jail harassment effort against Food Not Bombs by the city. And she successfully was able to defend herself from that. She was acquitted of that charge, and then they tried to bill her for it. She went back to court to talk to Judge Attic about the issue and that she could not pay the $100 court fees. And what happened, Marlena?
Judge Attic, once again, hello everybody, said that since I was a college graduate, and he was thinking that it was a distinct college, Temple University in Philadelphia, that I would be able to get a job and pay for my attorney's fees.
We interrupt you, Marlena, because we have the roving attorney, Ed Fry, who's just snuck into the studio with an apple, and we're going to hear you, Marlena, as soon as he's finished. And this is not a sexist decision. It is a classist decision because Ed is an attorney, and how often do we get an attorney in the studio? Hey, go ahead. Ed, we were talking to earlier, you were talking about the Catherine Gardner case and the case of District Attorney Art Danner, who may be going to trial in January. Now, can this be?
Yes, it can be. It looks like it's going to be because the judge in the hearing on Tuesday, it was last Tuesday actually the hearing was held on the county's motion for summary judgment. See, the county made a motion for summary judgment against this case that I filed on behalf of all taxpayers trying to get the money back that Art Danner had spent on Catherine Gardner and her salary and benefits for 4 months in exchange for no work. Okay, I filed suit as a taxpayer to get that money back, not from Catherine Gardner, because I thought she was fired wrongfully. I filed it to get it back from...
I've had the wrong dial on for the last 2 minutes. I'm going to have to ask our guest to repeat himself, and I apologize to our community for that.
You had it on. You had the right one on.
I'd like to apologize again, and thank you for...
We apologize for that apology. Anyway, okay, so the county made a motion for summary judgment saying, well, gee, the Board of Supervisors had approved and ratified what Art Danner had done in paying that woman, and therefore that's the end of it. But I said, I filed a brief in opposition to that and said, no, the state constitution very clearly prohibits paying a public employee beyond her day of last service. So what Art Danner did was illegal. And the judge came out agreeing with me, and he did give the county an extra 2 weeks to try to come up with a supplemental argument. See if they could get it together, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to. So actually Art Danner is going to be put on trial in front of a jury by us in January this coming year.
This is Judge Stevens who made this decision for you?
Yes, Sam Stevens. He's a good, honest judge, high integrity, and he looked at it honestly. He has no not affected by the political ramifications and all that a lot of other judges would be.
So you and I have a little bet on that it's going to be dinner for the one who loses in this case. I continue to be very skeptical. I don't think Stevens is going to find for you. Basically, again, in spite of whatever honesty he has, I remember Judge Stevens leveling an injunction against Soup Without a Permit and Food Not Bombs in 1989 for serving food at the town clock, in spite of the obvious political machinations involved here and the fact that nobody really argued that there was a significant health hazard. It was as a political move by then-Mayor Marty Wormhout and others in the county and city to remove the homeless from sight. Stevens found for the city and county on the basis of no evidence. But if he will find on your behalf, maybe he's either learned better or else perhaps you have more political punch than I do. Actually, you did get a significant number of people to vote for you in the last district attorney's election.
Even though the Sentinel blacked out the whole race, I did get 42% of the vote. So there is a lot of dissatisfaction with Danner. And I think that maybe that had some kind of impact. I doubt it, though. I think, for the most part, Judge Stevens follows the law and lets the chips fall where they may. So we're looking forward to putting our Danner in front of the jury.
Now, this is a civil case, right? We're not talking about Danner going to jail.
Right. As far as Danner going to jail, the only people that could do that would be the Attorney General, and they're in his back pocket. I told the Attorney General about this. I wrote a formal letter, in fact, two letters back in the fall of 94 about this, and, advising them that, hey, you really ought to look into this. And they wrote back immediately, oh, well, no, this is just a local county affair. They'll take care of it there at the local level, and which is total bullshit because there was a conviction by a public employee, got convicted in Sunnyvale in 1993 for falsifying time cards, and her conviction was upheld by the Court of Appeals in 1993, so it's good law that we're talking about here.
What was the name of that case?
People versus Groat, G-R-O-A-T. I don't have the citation with me, but it's a 1993 case, and you could find it if you want to look it up in the Court of Appeals books.
You were also telling me that the argument that you used or were intending to use last Friday had to do with an earlier Santa Cruz case around the turn of the century.
Right. In 1915, a case of Osborne versus Stone involved the city council and mayor of Santa Cruz, who had spent a lot of money to widen River Street and other projects, and it was illegal in what they did. So one of the taxpayers, I think by the name of Osborne, brought this action, and it went all the way to the California Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court set the precedent at that time that, yes, an individual taxpayer can bring suit if the city officials or the county officials, whoever is involved, refuse to do it, then a taxpayer can do it. And this case is a very strong statement. It's great to read, and it's poetic justice that it arose here in Santa Cruz.
Now, what didn't the Board of Supervisors look over this whole case and essentially tell you to pack your bags and go back to your politicking and stay away from county matters of this sort?
Yeah, they did, and that's what had happened there is that the Board of Supervisors, with one exception, are in Art Danner's back pocket, too. Fred Keeley, one of the less courageous members of the board, arranged a political fix for Art, and he arranged to have the board study the matter for 5 months, during which time they were considering the possibility of amending some of the regulations that Art Danner had violated. He blatantly violated a lot of regulations in doing what he did. He was limited to 5 days under the county regulations. He could have paid an employee for no work in exchange only for 5 days of paid leave. After that, it's illegal. He paid it for 4.5 months. So Fred Keeley and the rest of the board arranged this political fix, and they smoothed it over and ratified it and passed a formal resolution in April of 95 saying everything's cool, Art, what Art did was fine. And so the county, when they're defending Art in this lawsuit of mine, since the Board of Supervisors has spoken on the issue, that's an end of it. That does it. Well, the court saw through that. That's bullshit.
Well, so in other words, what you're telling us is that public money is being spent to defend a corrupt district attorney, while we have an impoverished person here in the studio who is being asked to pay for a trial at which she was acquitted. Is that the story here?
Yeah, that's real typical. Art Danner has wasted literally millions and millions of dollars in county funds. I don't have the time to run through all the issues I'm aware of, and I'm sure there are 10 times more than what I'm aware of, but one of the most glaring examples is when a guy by the name of Nichols got beat up in Scotts Valley in, I think it was 93. It was like Rodney King all over, because this man Nichols' wife was able to videotape the whole thing. And it was no reason at all for the sheriff beating him up. It was Todd Liberty, Sheriff Todd Liberty. And not a good guy. So the issue came up, well, should Todd Liberty be disciplined? Should Todd Liberty be prosecuted for doing this? Because it was a gratuitous beating. There was no reason for it. But it was right on videotape. Well, it turns out Art Danner admitted during the campaign last year that he had decided against prosecuting Todd Liberty without even having looked at the video. Even though the video was available and in his office, he didn't even look at it. He said, no, I'm not going to prosecute him. Well, it's just like Mark Furman all over again. That's why Mark Furmans exist all over the place, because they got corrupt prosecutors protecting them. And George Nichols, the beating victim, sued the county. He said at the time he would have accepted a handshake and an apology. And he got nothing of the kind, so he sued the county, and he ended up winning a settlement. As soon as the federal judge saw the videotape, she gave him a summary judgment. So he settled, actually, after the summary judgment. He settled for $390,000 from the county, plus approximately $100,000 the county had to spend on private attorneys that were defending them in that case. So $500,000 right there in one case. So Art Danner doesn't mind wasting money left and right when it suits his political ambitions.
What about your political ambitions, Ed? I understand you are thinking of taking a shot at the seat that Sam Farr has.
I'm not thinking about it. I am taking a shot at it. I told Sam on Labor Day, I handed him my flyer and said, Sam, I'm going to run against you because you didn't answer my question 2 years ago when I ran against you. See, when Sam Farr was in the state legislature in 1992, and the question came up, should we vote for 3 new prisons or not? At the time, it was California's worst fiscal crisis. They didn't even have the money to pay state employees. They were issuing warrants, remember that? And schools were going begging, and teachers' salaries were going down. And Sam Farr votes in favor of 3 new prisons at the same time that this is happening. And here's this great liberal, this Peace Corps liberal, Sam Farr. I said, Sam, can you explain why you voted for 3 new prisons? Does it have anything to do with the fact that you had just received $25,000 from the Prison Guards Union?
No.
Yeah, that's our Sam Farr. And he refused to answer my question.
My response to that would have to be, far out!
Oh, thanks for that, Robert. it's what an insult to the voters to not even answer the question. So, and he's doing similar things now with methyl bromide, the stuff that's eating up the ozone layer. He's taking money from agribusiness and trying to extend the deadline on the phase-out of methyl bromide. He also broke his promise on NAFTA, and Labor is very pissed at him for doing that. And the voters generally are pissed for lying to them, saying, yeah, if you elect me, I'll vote against NAFTA. And he gets elected, and boom, he votes for NAFTA. So, yeah, I'm going to run for Congress because I'm afraid that Sam is all too typical of all the rest of our representatives in all the legislatures in this country, and that is that they're owned by the corporations. So, in effect, we have a private government operated for the benefit of the corporations, and, in effect, we're a colony. We have no control over how or who gets elected in our own little district here, who's going to represent us, because that is all decided back in New York and Sacramento and L.A. and other financial centers. They send out checks at $10,000, $20,000 at a time. The politician, the office holder, takes this money, converts it into 30-second sound bites, hypnotizes enough couch potato voters to go out there on election day. Oh, Sam Farr, yes, I know that name. Boom. He gets elected. So that means we are disenfranchised. Our vote has no power. We are a colony. And we don't like, in America, we don't like being a colony. So I'm going to try to turn that around.
Well, you know, interesting. Bill Monag, with a much bigger organization and more money, I presume you supported in the last election, tried to defeat Bruce McPherson, my old pal, the editor of the Santa Cruz Journal, or Sentinel, as some call it, and it failed. I'm not going to ask you to go into where you intend to get your deep pockets from. I don't think your pockets are that deep. Many of us look with dismay at this latest election bid, not because we oppose you and not because we don't support the positions you take, but because we'd hate to see you exhausting yourself on fundraising activities when we want to exploit your powers as attorney locally to help in the case, for instance, of someone like Red Top Robert Flory.
Well, yeah, I know it looks hopeless for a little guy like me, a little guy candidate, but on the other hand, if we can all pull it together and get everybody registered to vote and get the word of mouth going, we have to act as a community if we're going to ever turn things around. And this is a good way to start, is to pass the word person to person. For example, we have to pass the word that our local little Sentinel here is owned by the Wall Street Journal. So we're getting our news filtered in Wall Street. That's a fact that not too many people are aware of, but it's a fact that's very glaring and makes everything clear that the corporations back in New York are controlling what we read as news here in our little Santa Cruz County.
Let me turn again to this case of Red Top Robert Flory, and I promise not to push you on the air too much on this because you've been...
Let me interrupt you, but yeah. I really have to go. I don't have any more time. I'm not trying to escape this.
Right.
My wife is waiting for me. We've got an important meeting.
Well, let me ask you then to give a phone number for those who wish to support your election challenge and or your Danner challenge.
All right. My number is 457-1545, and I appreciate all the help you can give me.
All right.
Thanks very much, Robert.
Thank you. And while you're leaving the room, I encourage you to think about Red Top Robert and consider possibly a habeas corpus petition on his behalf. That is what he needs this weekend, or perhaps a visit to the jail. That's where he currently is lodged. Any chance of that? There's a chance of that. Okay. Well, you heard it here. You heard it first on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, here on your local FM dial. You're listening, of course, to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, an extended version. Actually, we extend ourselves regularly every Friday, hoping that you will give us a call and give us some input into what you think about what's going on here on the radio, what's going on in your community, what we're not saying that we should be saying, what we're saying that isn't true, what we're saying that is off base, off key, off kilter. We want to hear what you have to say about what we're saying. Or if we're on target, hey, let's hear about that. And again, if you want to be on the air, the best thing to do is to give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, anytime during the week. We have a twice-weekly show here, Monday and Friday at 10 o'clock in the morning. The second way to be on the air is to show up at 9:45 in the morning on Monday and Fridays at the Taco Bell on Pacific Avenue, which is where I will audition you and see if your voice is melodious enough to be on the air. And, of course... bribes are accepted under these circumstances. Just kidding, of course. We were interested in people who want to be on the air and talk about poverty rights, low-income realities in Santa Cruz, whether it be in housing, out of housing, in tents, in jails, you name it. That's the interest we have. What have we got here? We have our co-host has returned. How you doing, co-host?
Swell.
This is Marlena Zaro. How do we spell that? Z-A-R-O?
Z-A-R-O.
Z-A-R-O. That's quite a name.
Actually, it was another name that they decided to change when our family came from Sicily to Ellis Island. It was Z-A-G-G-A-R-O. And I guess they decided we didn't need the two G's and the A.
Well, what? How did you pronounce that then?
Zagarillo.
Zagarillo. That's Italiano?
Italiano.
Siciliano. Che bene, che bene. So you were interrupted so rudely in the midst of your analysis of what happened to you yesterday in municipal court in the courtroom of Judge Artichoke Hart Attic, who not only found against you, but also kicked out Lighthouse Linda LeMaster in the audience who was trying to record the proceedings. So.
Yes, Linda was there, also for Bob, who was before Attic yesterday. And apparently she was stretching her neck, maybe a little too far to the right, and was accused of napping in the courtroom.
Violating the sleeping ban, actually not even violating the sleeping ban, violating the new napping ban declared by Judge Artichoke Hart Attic, who I might add at this point was the judge who convicted food server Sandra Loringer and sent her to jail for 3 weeks for serving sandwiches at the town clock that she had made in her own kitchen, serving soup, serving with swap, soup without a permit, when there was no free meal downtown. That's the same judge, Artichoke Hart Attic, who now is the senior judge in our municipal court.
Well, yesterday he was feeling good. He was in a pretty good spirit and allowed me to tape my proceedings for my own personal use, so unfortunately cannot broadcast them today because I signed a form saying that we couldn't broadcast that. That's section 98C that I filled out a form for. And I represented myself yesterday because I didn't have anybody that could lead me, although my PD was there, you know, helping other people, I guess, that were facing jail time.
That's PD Heather...
Elric.
Heather Elric.
Yeah, second...
Heather Elric is a PD who's actually done good work with you and good work with Candlelight Kim Argula, but when she's missed several meetings, all meetings, in fact, where she agreed to talk to me about... better contacts between the public defender's office and political defendants, and apparently she did not have the interest in representing you independently of the public defender's office, even though it's her bill they're allegedly trying to pay, and she was the one who was there when you were acquitted.
Right. She felt as though she was done representing me. We went and appealed it once. We got the $500 fine lowered to $100, and I think that she maybe felt her time was up. I'm not sure if there was pressure from her office to not represent me because, you know, they say, well, this lawyer did you good, you know, she helped you, and don't you want to pay her? Don't you want to pay her for her services? Well, I guess I would like to, you know, maybe pay her in other ways since, you know, money for me is not something that... you know, I can easily part with, you know, being that they want me to pay for my justice, you know, pay for my right to defend myself against, you know, an accusation of failure to disperse, which I'm still not sure of the correct definition for that. Disperse, you know, into what or through what, you know. They only wanted me to walk down apparently one direction on the mall.
You were found not guilty of this charge, and a certain chunk of your life was taken with the whole business of defending yourself against what was a bogus charge concocted by the police department because they didn't like the fact that you were playing your trombone and in essence mocking the officers who were wasting public time, public money, and public patience by guarding a triangle of sidewalk against what? The air? I don't know what they were doing on that May 11th, 1994 when they reportedly struck one woman so hard that in fact she miscarried later, broke the ribs of another man who were simply sent there in a demonstration to support the rights of people to sit on the sidewalk. More than 50 people were arrested at that demonstration in May of 1994. No one was convicted. Only actually one person was actually tried, and that case is still going through the courts, the case of Lisa Henry. The law under which all these people were arrested, sit on the sidewalk, go to jail, was thrown out by the cops and, of course, replaced by the city council's new exciting sit 10 feet from a shop, go to jail law. Thank you, Scott Kennedy. Thank you, Mike Rotkin. Thank you, Catherine Byers. I believe you voted in favor of that law as well, to your shame. Actually, you voted, I think in the final vote you voted against that. But every other council member voted in favor of it, at least in terms of the modification. So, what have we got here? We have you, Marlena, in court yesterday talking to Judge Attic, and I heard some of this, and you were able to make a recording of it, which we can play privately, but it would be... risking contempt of court for you to have that tape on the air, so we will not do that, although we are Free Radio Santa Cruz, and we say, fuck the FCC. No question about that. I'm going to ask you to pardon my language. The FCC needs to be told where to get off. They are currently harassing free radio stations across the country, specifically Stephen Dunifer's Free Radio Berkeley, and they are unsuccessfully harassing. They've been to court. Well, they were in court last week, and they were told prepare your case. Don't just try to close down the station. There's a First Amendment issue. But before I go on about that, let me continue with your situation. As I remember, you know, I came to the courtroom yesterday, courtroom 3, I guess it was.
Two.
Department 2? Department 2, Judge Addicks Court. And I found Linda LeMaster, Lighthouse Linda, the Housing Now activist who wanted to record your trial, in the hallway, furious that she had been evicted from the courtroom for letting her head loll to one side. Now, her suspicion was that Judge Artichoke Hart Addick, as I call him, Robert Addick, former DA, now exalted in status to a municipal court judge, had decided to penalize her because, wait a minute, the phone is ringing. Do we have a call?
Hello, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robespierre.
Who's this?
Thank you for the plug.
Oh, this is Lighthouse Linda LeMaster herself.
I'm going to cut back on my court time, but I just wanted to add a question to this discussion. Thank you, Marlena. I heard the recorded part that I missed, and it was wonderful, and you're wonderful. I mean, I knew you were wonderful already, but thank you for doing that. My question is,
before
I hope he's going to wish I was asleep before this is over. Where the hell is all that restitution money that he's added to people's sentences going? What gets restituted when your crime is against the sidewalk? Every other person was being told like about 100 of their fines was some form of restitution. Who are they restituting, Governor Wilson? Anyway, so get back to your story. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, what happened? What happened with you in the courtroom, Linda? Why don't you describe how you were coming to see Marlena's trial and to make a recording of it? Right?
Yeah, I wanted to write about it in the newsletter for the streets because I know it's going to be important when people get around to remembering that street people are human. You know, so I always get indignant when men treat me like I'm not very important. You know, like there's something and I'm nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never let their black robes influence me any more than their gender privilege, but this guy affronted me, and I took it personal.
So
I
came
out to do that.
So what happened? Tell us. I gave
a
description.
I was trying to get a crick out of my neck, and one of the positions I tried was to put my forehead on the banister, or whatever you call it, probably the bar, that separates the court proceedings from where people are allowed to sit when they're docketed or whatever, because, you know, and I have been there when Ed came in for Bob Duran because...
Ed Fry, you mean the attorney for Skidmark's Bob, the Food Not Bombs activist?
We didn't know where Bob might be because of the baby-making stuff going on, but that's another story.
Indeed, actually...
We covered the bases. It was like a softball game for a few minutes at first, but he was out to get me.
Artichoke Hart Addick?
Yeah, he called me out twice. I've been treated like that since sixth grade when my teacher threw this eraser from the chalkboard at me to get me to shut up because I was sitting in the middle of the classroom.
Now, you suggested that the motivation that Judge Addick might have had would have to do with your actions at a previous court hearing?
I said I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the man's heart, and now I don't think I want to, but I wouldn't be surprised if I wasn't... Yeah.
His artichokes.
Yeah. I usually like artichokes, but in this case, forget it. He probably remembered me when I tried to talk when he was sentencing Bob Duran, and he refused to consider Bob's community service work, and they had all me in jail for this.
This is Bob Duran, the father of the new baby, by the way.
And that day I was sitting in the very back seat of the courtroom, so I said, I beg your pardon, Your Honor, but he didn't appreciate that, let alone what I said next. Because he was, you know, they treat people like we're disposable now.
So what exactly did you do with this Bob Duran thing?
Oh, I just spoke up and said his community service should count. You know, there are witnesses in the courtroom to some of it, whether he has the right papers or not or something like that, you know. Because that's what I liked about what Marlena was doing yesterday is this whole thing about paying a fee to some other side nonprofit that gets a paycheck from the court system or the county.
Now explain what you mean by
court
this.
Court referral, which they call community options also.
Mm-hmm.
This is supposed to keep America from being like the debtor's prison that invented America. But it's like in the last 3 years they found so many ways to make money off of people. So you have to pay $25 for the privilege of not paying your court fees and having the privilege of labor instead of work. And I liked Marlena because Marlena talked in court about what work is worth. That was so cool. She upstaged the whole O.J. Simpson circus in one sentence. Anyway, I have to go.
Well, listen, thank you, Linda.
Tell Artichoke he won't wish that I had been sleeping if you happen to run into him.
Oh, well, I'll mention that he fondly remembers you. Actually, he did refer to you while you were out of the courtroom in a somewhat sarcastic manner.
Is your head together?
Well, if he's going to choose sarcasm as his weapon, tell him he has met his match.
Oh, cool enough. Well, thank you, Lighthouse Linda.
All right. I want to hear the rest of the story as I try to get my chores done.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
So, Marlena, let's return to the municipal courtroom, the medieval setting where you went to yesterday, in essence, summoned again as part of an ongoing harassment effort. It has to be, whether intentional or not, it certainly was that, based upon the court's mistaken prosecution, or the DA's mistaken prosecution of you last November, when you were hounded, threatened with jail and fine, and finally found innocent by a jury of your peers.
One of the jurors actually was a Capitola woman whose daughter was a police officer.
So you might even say the enemy couldn't find enough substance in the charges against you to find you guilty. So here you were, essentially trumped up, and then they want to make you pay, mind you, for your own abuse. It's sort of like, let's rape her and then make her pay for, make her pay for the condoms. I don't know, make her for the lack of, whatever. I mean, it's grotesque. I'm trying to make my example grotesque. Anyway, and there was the same public defender who was supposedly the person on behalf of whom they were trying to get the salary, and this woman did not have the principle or the courage to stand up and say, "Your Honor, this is a poor woman. I will forego my $100, if necessary, to embarrass this judge, to embarrass the system, to put things in proper perspective." No, Heather Elrick had not a word for you, but scurried about her duties like a good little public defender. I was about to file a complaint in the case of a public defender who was abusive in the last month and hindered communications between me and a prisoner, but that case is on hold at the moment because for reasons I will tell you later, and keep tuned on that one. Marlena, is there more you want to say about your case in terms of what happened? What eventually happened, as I understand it, was you
I had an offer. Judge Attic, Artichoke Attic, gave me an offer of community service hours instead of paying the fine. And I was a little reluctant at first to accept this because I didn't want to be responsible for the fee, as my...
You didn't want to pay for your own beating, in other words.
Exactly. So he apparently assessed my hour or my work time as being 20 hours. 20 hours of community service could wipe out the $100 fee. And I asked him, I'm trying to turn the tables on him a little bit, "So, Judge Attic, you're telling me that my time being a college graduate is only worth $5 an hour? He wants me to go out there and find a job for $5 an hour to pay for these court fees plus my, living expenses."
And you live in your van, right?
Right. And he asked me that, including the make and the model. He asked me if my van worked and if I drove it to court. I mean, what is the relevance of this? Does he want me to sell my only, refuge to pay for my court fees? To pay for my attorney's fees?
I think so. I think that fact was the import of the questions to show that somehow you are well healed because you own the vehicle you live in. He kept saying who has the title to that vehicle and so forth. And it's interesting, the basis on which court fees are determined, the basis on which he will determine whether you owe money is to some extent dependent on your ability to pay. So you are going to get charged because you're a college graduate, but when they assess your time from you, they're going to ignore the fact that you're a college graduate and pay you $5 an hour for your time.
Exactly. Well, I don't really know, what kind of table he's using to assess these hourly rates on, but I was quite disturbed.
Maybe he's using the veg table, the artichoke. No, I'm sorry.
Okay. The vegetable. Speaking of vegetables, Food Not Bomb serves on the corner of Cathcart and Pacific every Wednesday.
So this is an example of the community disservice that you engage in. You help Food Not Bombs, or
I have helped Food Not Bombs in the past, serving and kind of keeping a clean clean atmosphere abound there in the mall. And I'd like to make the distinction that there was an interview earlier in the show for Feed the People.
Yes.
I mean, there really is a clear distinction between Feed the People and Food Not Bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Food Not Bombs is sure not to serve any dairy or meat items because of, you know, cleanliness and sterility. It's important for it to stay vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yes.
So to make the distinction.
There has been a lot of controversy, at least within Food Not Bombs, about Feed the People. Feed the People is a group which is headed by a man named Sean, who calls himself The Bitch, who has been quite effective in getting out food every night at Cathcart and Pacific around 5 o'clock, although he's late occasionally, as is Food Not Bombs, and his meals are somewhat meager at times. I think they were bread and garlic paste the other day. But, you know, we can snicker, but it is food, you know, and food is food, and his continual point, which cannot be really dismissed out of hand, is
feed the people.
Food, not politics, Sean, not bombs, whatever you will. The problem has been for some of us is that Sean is something of an egomaniac who controls events so rigidly and with such passion that if you don't do it his way, you don't do it at all, and it's upset a number of people.
Sort of a Burger King type attitude.
Burger King type attitude?
Yeah, if you don't like it our way... then go someplace else.
Right, well, that's...
We do it our way.
Right, no vegetables on the, with the beef, no artichokes with the beef.
I want a soy patty.
A soy patty, yes. Well, yes. So anyway, I'm going to invite Sean...
One thing that I was concerned about yesterday was contempt of court. If I didn't accept his ultimatum, basically 20 hours community service, or to pay the $100 fine, which he wouldn't tell me it was going to be due by, it was originally due October 2nd, he didn't really bother to give me all that information. I had to pick one, and I was, you know, I really didn't even think there was an option. You know, pick between which way am I going to be, you know, absconded?
Well, quite possibly, because as we've seen, Robert Fleury told them that he would not do community service, and he went to jail.
Right, and I was kind of faced with that yesterday briefly, because I didn't know that was going to be the bottom line. Is there someone else here to talk, Robert?
Yes, actually, battling Bob LaMonica, who hates it when I call him that, is here with his show and an embarrassed grin on his face. Possibly he's brought us all some chocolates as well. That, by the way, is coming right up on Free Radio Santa Cruz as soon as we can wind this show to an end. You're listening to 96.3 FM, the People's Station, and indeed it is one of the few stations that really is the People's Station. Did you want to finish what you were saying, Marlena?
I just wanted to say congratulations to Bob and Spirit for their baby boy that was born yesterday at 5 o'clock. And I was very glad to be there and help with that. Thank you, and peace to this sweet new brother, Food Not Bomber.
Yes, to Skidmark Jr., as we call him by default, because we don't know what his name is, we wish our condolences based upon the radical nature of his parents, who are seen doing things like feeding people on the mall, playing songs with the band Just Kidding, and otherwise creating political confrontations. You do? Is it Nutcracker Nick? You know
yeah.
The name of the kid? What is it?
The name of Skidmark Bob's child is Rubberhead.
Is that so? Or are you just telling us a funny? Well, I guess we'll have to find out later from talking to Skidmark, but I somehow doubt that... but we'll see about that. Okay, well, you've been listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides here in beautiful Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM on your radio dial. And we hope you'll return next Monday at 10 when you'll probably be listening to recorded highlights, actually new material. We're going to be giving you interviews from the street in my absence. I'm getting out of town before they get me, and I'll be back probably on Friday, and if not on Friday, then the Monday following. Again, we're going to try to put in some interesting stuff for you to listen to. If you have stuff you want on the air, do call me, 423-HUFF. That's the number to call if you want to be on the air or have some material presented on the air. We had lots of stuff that unfortunately went unable to broadcast that I was going to read to you from the newspapers, but hey, we had real life people. That's better. I'm going to wind my way out here with a final song by Ewan McCall, and then you're going to have Bob LaMonica and his update on the coalition to recall Danner, quite pertinent based upon what Ed Fry has told us in the last hour. Bob LaMonica can give you some more information and more reasons to take a real close look at District Attorney Art Danner. Thanks for listening. Tune in on Monday and stay tuned for Bob LaMonica's Coalition to Recall Danner update and show.
On my customary ramble, I thought that I heard Maggie Thatcher calling. She sounded so distracted and she cried, it's time I acted, for the wasteful way they're living is appalling. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that terrible public standing, let's get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, the world's best evening's ending, let's get rid of it. She said, I'd like to mention that free medical attention is a luxury that's far beyond this nation. Health a matter for the wealthy, why should the poor be healthy? They have a notion far above the station. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that's hell a waste for any chance. Get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. When it comes to education and the working population, remember things that are your constitution. If the workers know the letter, they can recognize the better, then the rest is an unnecessary feature. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that terrible compliment is to get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, knowledge is a thing that is true, get rid of it. As freedom's great protector, we should fight the public sector, yet public ownership's by rage around it. And we sell the private profit to our towns to do well of it, things like all roads, not to mention council housing. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that terrible public ownership, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it, in freedom's name we say again, get rid of it. While inflation goes on rising, we're opposed to subsidizing libraries that lead to people reading. As for people's theater art, we regard it as a star, and a good kick up the arse is what they're needing. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that terrible theater subsidy, get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that beautiful gallery, get rid of it. Proclamation that it's time for operation. Let freedom's proclamation as you speak. Waste is evil, wise, but funny, especially when it's money. We much prefer to waste the nation's people. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that terrible greedy labor force, get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, put a healthy everyone, get rid of it. Well, the hockey lady's vowels have played havoc with my bowels. Her message left me feeling suicidal, but my spirit's more you, I remembered me, and a recipe, a hand for our survival. Get rid of it, get rid of it, that hell of Tory government, get rid of it. Get rid of it, get rid of it, it's either a summon, so let's get rid of it.
water under the bridge.
I'll wait up in the morning. Get out of my room. He stopped in the dark and was still. He stepped back away from her bed, held his breath short and shallow a while in the dark. She waited to hear the floor creak as he left, but he waited in silence for her.
I am having.
He quietly crawled onto her bed on all fours. She lay on her side, feigning sleep, thinking, why has he come here to me in the night? Does he like me? Is that what this means? He slowly and softly pressed back over her shoulder to lay her flat down on her bed. He straddled suspended and rubbed himself on her. She felt the strong rush of her blood. He rubbed himself on her. She moaned and turned over. I'll wake up, get out of my room. He quietly, stealthily rose from her bed and crept out of her room for the night.
So I'm thinking about the cruel twists of absurd irony.
Those people who, by the way, are the main targets of Jim Holberg's article, he cites them as ufologists, points out that they've made a bunch of mistakes, and says, for that reason, we can't trust anybody in Russia. He also makes the point that people like Zsa-Zsa and Popovich sell the material.
The crushing weight of unreturned phone calls takes precedence as my brain, too, fills with gibberish. Important gibberish, of course. Significant and oh so socially relevant, like what a bunch of idiots run and ruin everything. And I thank God I'm not a 14-year-old rape victim in Dublin, Ireland, and thank God that what she's going through could never...